plate a potential nugget.
Another theme you talk about in the book is this notion of imposter syndrome, Alyssa.
Yes.
You know, you go on to say that entrepreneurs are dealing with this all the time. They are the cutting edge of something. They're flexing muscles that they haven't built over the years, and they're probably trying to open doors that are much bigger than them at every step. What's been your observation about how this plays out and what you've seen some of the founders do to cope with this effectively?
This plays out all the time. I literally just this week had a call with a founder, and the imposter syndrome for him came out because his board would tell him, oh, you're doing good, but you should double that, you know, projection. Mm-hmm. And in his mind, he's thinking, I don't know if we can double it. And also, why are you telling me that? I must not be a good maybe all your other founders are like just naturally doubling it or tripling it. And maybe I'm the only one who's not doing it. And also, it's just really hard when it's, especially early days when it's not working. But even as it gets bigger, you've never done it before, it's just really hard. And founders often don't have anyone to talk to. And so they're just sitting with their own doubt. You can't ask your board, well, wait a minute, do all your other companies just triple it without, you know, even like any trouble at all? Like, am I the only one? It's really hard to ask this kinds of questions. So you feel all alone. That's just one of many examples. You know, another example is that, and I talk about this in the book, there's one of the founders I worked with. He was great at raising money, mm-hmm. but when it comes to closing executives, he just couldn't close executives. And I just kept asking him, like, what's going on? And we finally had a heart-to-heart discussion about it. And he said, you know, I don't mind taking the money from the VCs. That's fine. But if I think about pulling someone away from a secure job that they're doing great at and then to join my company, what if we don't make it? Mm-hmm. And he felt like he didn't have it in him to do that. And that was his imposter syndrome. So those are all the ways that imposter syndrome comes out and plays out. They're very tangible, right? Mm-hmm. It's not just your own internal suffering. They actually cause you to, you know, not hire executives that you need to hire, not hire them fast enough. So there's many, many ways to handle this. First of all, accepting that you have imposter syndrome, recognizing mm-hmm. other people have it as well. And then what I like to prescribe for the founders that I work with is to do a highlight reel. So a highlight reel is where you sit down and you write down five or six successes that you've had, which is amazing, right? Like, because you're amazing. So you've done a bunch of stuff that's really impressive. And especially times you've overcome obstacles and mm-hmm. overcome difficult things. And then you remind yourself, I'm actually really capable. It's actually like, I'm good at this. So it also reminds you that you can overcome difficult things when you need to. So when you have that, you can read that every day. It's like a ritual. Mm-hmm. You can read it every morning and remind yourself, and you could even add to it. And also, when you're about to handle something hard or the imposter syndrome comes up for you, you can pull it out right there and then to have a fighting chance of reminding of yourself of the capabilities you have to counteract the feelings of imposter syndrome.
I love the point that Alyssa makes about the highlights reel. We actually have a full podcast conversation on this topic with Professor Dan Cable of London Business School. He talks about the highlight reel in the context of each one of us seeking feedback from the outside and staying relevant as we go through life. But I guess similar principles apply to founders. They just encounter so many rejections and no's along the way in a day. And it can be a tough job holding your morale up, especially with your troops, who often have limited visibility to your downs. Here's Dan talking about the highlights reel.
And so anyway, over the last 10 years, I feel like I've learned a lot about how surprised people are when they get one of these highlights reels. And basically what that is, it is memories and stories from family, from friends, from colleagues, from mentors. It's people that have watched you over the years, even over the decades. And then they write a story that is their memory of a time you've done something exceptional. That's the name of the book. That's why that book is called Exceptional. It's there are times when you've had an extraordinary impact, and here's my memory of you doing that. And I just can't tell you, number one, how powerful and emotional that is to read it from other people as opposed to just self-reflecting. So that's one thing. I think a second thing I'd put out there is just the vast amount of new insights that you can get, because a lot of things that people remember for 15 years, 20 years, and they write down in a lot of detail, you might not even think of as a big deal. You might think, oh, no, that's just easy. That's what anybody would do. And if you have 7, 8, 9 people writing different stories, but around that same theme, but you yourself just don't think that's a big deal, that highlight reel starts to unveil ways of you becoming exceptional. And I call them high leverage moves. It's just a way that you can do a little more in an area and create a much bigger impact, but you wouldn't do it because you kind of downplay it. You think anybody would do it.
Like Alyssa says, not only can highlights reels help pick ourselves up when we're going through a rough spot, they can also often shed insights that can be often in a blind spot that can help us become a better version of ourselves.